And so that's a pretty good start. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 with me. We looked last week at chapter 10 and went into chapter 11. Tonight, if you picked up your outline out there, it says lesson 4, Romans 10, 21 through 10, 12 through 21. So we will also get into chapter 11 if we get through the end of that. In Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The Jews understood Abraham, and they understood that he was a man of faith, and he's the father of faith for both Jew and Gentile. We saw where Israel rejected the nation's Messiah because they felt they did not have any need of salvation. They thought they had the Word of God, they had a relationship with God, they had Abraham as their father, and they were prideful and self-righteous and like the elder brother with the prodigal son who came home to his father, and his older brother was angry that the father would help the son. Second, we saw they were zealous for God and the law and rejected the attitude of salvation by faith. Salvation by grace through faith is the blessing of God on us, and it is a gift of God. And God has bestowed it upon us that we can be saved through faith, not the works of the law, and not through national pride, as Israel thought, being Jewish people. They failed to understand their own law. The rabbis had added much to the law. Galatians 3:24 says that the law was to a school teacher to bring Israel to Christ, but they didn't see that. They saw the law as way to earn salvation by keeping the law, and that was never the reason. Paul quoted from Joel chapter 2, verse 32, but he applies it to his day, where when you read Joel, you'd immediately probably apply it to the end time, but it may have other applications as Paul wrote. Romans 10, 14 through 21, Paul explains four reasons we need to be mission-minded and reach out to the lost around us. First, we have the commandment from above. God has given us the great commission to make disciples of all nations of people. And the emphasis is, as we're going throughout the whole world, let us make disciples of every people that we come in contact with. Now, God hasn't called every person to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, but he has called many to go. And as we are going wherever we go, we're to be a witness for Christ and try to make disciples of every ethnic group of people we come in contact with, whether it's Jews, Samaritans, or the Gentile nations. Now, this certainly covers all those who come here to us. We've had two families just join the church in January. One family is from India and one family is Hispanic. I'm not sure where all they're both from. We'll have to get that nailed down. We are thankful to God that God brought them here. And they have felt that this church would be the place for them to put their membership and to be faithful in this church. And we're thankful for that. They've already shown their faithfulness before they joined the church. And we praise the Lord for that. The emphasis of this from the scriptures in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is to make disciples of all nations. And we said there is a command from above. God has sent us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then there's a cry from beneath. The rich man in hell sought Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go warn his five brothers, lest they also come to that awful place of torment where he was. Can you imagine the cries from hell today? We get a little bit lazy sometimes in being the witness to other people and thinking about getting people saved. And there are people in hell that would cherish the idea that we would go to their loved ones and warn them not to come to that awful place. There's also a call from without. We saw Paul saw the vision of Macedonia, the man saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And there are nations asking for missionaries to come, asking for preachers to come, asking for help to build churches, to spread the gospel. And we thank God for that. And there's a call from within where God has given us a love for him and a love for one another and a love for the lost. And we should care about people and we should have a love from within to reach out to others. We saw in Romans 10, how shall they hear if they have never been told? How shall they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear the message without a preacher or a witness? How shall they preach except they be sent? A qualified witness established in the faith, one who knows that he is saved, can then share with others what God has done for us. We can tell people how God saved us. And that's the greatest tool for witnessing that you can have, is to share your testimony of how God has saved you. And these evidences of a testimony of love for others speaks volumes. How shall they preach except they be sent? It is the goal of the local church to send forth missionaries to the foreign fields. And now churches have established mission boards who deal directly with that and completely with that. But the goal is not the board. The goal is the local church to send forth missionaries with the message and help people know how to be saved. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the glad tidings, the good news. Thanks be unto God for that. Now look at Romans 10 and verse 12. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So there's a problem. There was a problem in Israel in Paul's day. There's a problem since the Old Testament days, and there's still a problem today in every country, that people hear the gospel, but they don't believe. They don't receive the word and get saved. But there is a universal aspect of the gospel in verse 12 and 13. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Back in Romans 1 and verse 16, 17, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God wants people to be saved, and he's given us the gospel to share, and the gospel is for all. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for all nations and every person, that they might be saved. Thank God it is free to all. Christ paid the price. It was not cheap. He paid the price of Calvary, of the suffering and the death and the burial and the resurrection from the dead. in order to provide salvation for us and for us to share it with other people. It's vital that it is preached to all in every place, including to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Bob and Betty Ann are going to the uttermost parts of the earth in September of this year. They're going to Iceland. I'd like to see them get somebody saved while they're over there, wouldn't you? And if they need something to witness with, books or something of that nature, we'll supply that so they can take the gospel with them when they go. That would be amazing. There are proofs that support that it is vital to preach to every place. First of all, A, in your lesson under lesson 4, the character of God. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. God is the same God who can save all men. The psalmist said, Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Now we know all men are sinners, and we know that all men need to be saved, and they must be saved to inherit eternal life. Grace is available to all. Chapter 10, verse 11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a quote from Isaiah. Isaiah revealed this all those years ago, and yet the Jewish people were rejecting this when it came to the Gentile nations of people. We see the character of God in saving men. We see the promise of God being fulfilled. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Calling on the name of the Lord reveals faith. There is a double assurance here that what God is and what God has promised to do, that he will do. And we must believe that and be convinced of that, that God will fulfill his promises. The gospel is universally proved in verse 14 and 15. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I remember many years ago, Joy and I got saved, and we had not been saved long, and a man in the church, his name was Jim Tucker, he lived out in Leslie. He had been a highway patrolman who'd come off the road and was teaching at driver's license tests and that kind of thing out at Newport. And Jim Tucker took my New Testament and underlined the Roman road in it for me. And the first person that I led through that who prayed and asked God to save them was my dad. And he just read those verses that were underlined. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to explain all of it. I just said, "Now read this one right here." And we read that. And then it said, "Now read this one." And we went to that one. We read it. And God was merciful. You see, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is... has given us the universal appeal of the gospel. He has proved it, that the form of revealing is calling, believing, hearing, preaching, sending. It's revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, but Israel failed to be the evangelist that they should have been to take the gospel to the nations. They developed jealousy of the gospel, and they hoarded the teaching, and they did not share it with others. The disregard of spreading the message of God, verse 16, 17, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So, Lord, who hath believed? You go back, that's a quote from Isaiah 53 in verse number 1. That Jesus cursed the fig tree when he was with his disciples because it had leaves as if it was bearing fruit, but it had no fruit. It simply had leaves. And so Jesus cursed it because it had a prideful presentation, that it should have been bearing fruit, but it was not. And Israel should have been bearing fruit by sharing the gospel message, and they were not. And there are many churches that have elaborate buildings today, and they have large rolls of members, but most of them don't have a large number of people getting saved and baptized on a regular basis. And if they do have people get saved and baptized, it's usually people who've grown up in a church, and when they turn 12 years of age, they take them through a confirmation program to get them to pray a prayer of faith and then announce that they have believed and they baptize them. Well, I'm not saying a person can't be saved that way. Many people have been saved that way. But they're not reaching out to the unsaved and showing them how to believe on Christ and be saved. Verse 18 through 21, Israel had heard but refused to obey. In Psalm 19:4, they had been warned. Back in Deuteronomy 32:21, Moses had warned them. And the Jews knew the teachings of the Bible. They knew the five books of the law, the books of Moses. And Deuteronomy 32 and verse 21 says, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those things which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." So God saved the unbelievers to show Israel that was their job they failed in. And they were supposed to be sharing the message as God has made it available to the nations. Isaiah 65, verse 1 through 3, Israel's problem was not that they didn't believe, it was they disobeyed. In the book Isaiah 65, and verse 1, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick." So he's talking about the idol worshipers who failed to know God, but God has revealed himself to them, and some of them are believing on the Lord and turning unto him. They had been warned. Israel had. In Romans 9, verse 30 through 33, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So Israel in their pride stumbled over Christ, who was the chief cornerstone. If you stop reading right here, you might think, well, God has rejected Israel, and he's not going to save them anymore because of their rejection. But when you continue to read, you see that God is not finished with them. In chapter 11, in verse 1 through 10, God has not cast away Israel. He has reserved unto himself a remnant of them who are believers. And those who believe, God has a relationship with them to do what we are to do as believers. He's reserved unto himself a remnant of believers of Israel and will in the future restore Israel to its proper place through the tribulation period. They will go through terrible tribulation, and Israel, many of them, will be saved as a result. Verse 1 of chapter 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hasn't cast away Israel. Paul is saved. He's one of the remnant that God has preserved unto himself. And so are the other apostles and disciples. Paul is himself a Jew of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. And the disciples were Jews. Thousands were saved in the early church, were mostly Jewish people. 3,000 were saved when Peter preached, and then 5,000 were saved, and there were those being added to the congregation daily, the scripture says. And so it recorded many people who believed the message and who repented of sin and who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God has not cast away his people. God is forever the faithful covenant-keeping God. He has set in motion his plan with Abraham and the nation of Israel and with Paul and the New Testament church, and these people are being saved. Turn in your Bible back to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Acts 15, 13 through 18. Acts 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So God has set forth a plan for people to be saved, including Jews and Gentiles. And this is a judicial case of the temporary blinding of disobedient Israel that he might open the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, you'll see that I gave you several passages of Scripture, Isaiah 29, Deuteronomy 29, Psalm 69. It reveals that God in the Old Testament promised these things would happen. Divine mercy was revealed. Divine faithfulness has continued. The monument of divine grace is the remnant that God has saved. God's divine justice on the rebellious majority. The caution for all to hear. God is warned. Do not follow a multitude to do evil, from Exodus 23:2. Romans 11:11 through 16, Israel is in the plan of God to open the gospel to the nations. Israel's fall is not final. They're set apart for a time. In the tribulation period, God will deal with the nation of Israel and draw them back unto himself. Paul speaks to the Gentiles. His desire to see the Jews saved has not diminished because of the Gentile salvations. The Gentiles should understand the foundation of the Jewish nation brought about the scriptures and the knowledge of God who created the heavens and the earth. And verse 15 and 16, God has given the example of the first fruits of the harvest, guaranteeing the abundance of the harvest when it is ripe. You'll remember that when God dealt with the first fruits, when the first fruits ripened, they brought that to God as an offering. And God would bless them for that. And then God would assure them the remainder of the harvest would come because they brought the first fruits unto the Lord. Christ is the first fruit from the dead. And he has assured us how we are saved because of grace through faith. And we can spread that message to the world, to Jew and Gentile, and help other people to believe and be saved. God is good. And he's given us the truth. Thank you for being here tonight. Pray the Lord blesses you. I pray you can be a witness and a testimony for the Lord. You can share with someone how you got saved. You can share the gospel message. You can tell them of the Lord. And thank you for being here. Thank you for witnessing. Thank you for inviting people to church. That's great, great things to do. And I appreciate your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that, Lord, we can look back and see how you planned all these things. And you knew what was going to transpire. So we're thankful for that tonight. Pray you'll help us to be faithful and spread the word in Jesus' name. Amen.